Welcome everybody to the NFL show. The NFL show is brought to you by Passive Purity. Make sure you check them out at passivepurity.direct/replenishingcare/. We will have an easier way for you to get to them by tomorrow. It is CBD, top of the line CBD. Make sure you check them out. I am your host for the NFL show, Mike Goodpaster. I'd like to welcome in my co-host. He's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, Sam Teets. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing pretty awful, actually, Mike. Thanks for asking.
That is awesome. I was thinking about you last night, and this is the thing. I wanted to, like, text you at 28-0, and then I'm thinking, nah, the Browns are like the Bengals, so they're probably going to give this away. And when it got to, like, 31-16 or 35-16, I thought for sure Cleveland was going to choke, but they didn't because the Pittsburgh Steelers suck. Another team that sucks, I'd like to introduce my guest, who's an Indianapolis Colts fan, Steve Risley. But Steve Risley did win the week. He was 5-1 on these picks this week. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, doing great. Now, I didn't think the Colts sucked. I thought they showed some vulnerability, made the Bills look a little vulnerable there. Had they had a quarterback who could throw the ball more than 10 yards downfield and not rely on, you know, make it easy to block that running game, that might have been a different outcome. And then there was some questionable play calling. But we'll get into that when we break that game down. But I thought the Colts did okay for themselves, considering what we thought was going to happen to them.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing like losing in the playoffs.
No, right. It's a loss to loss. I agree.
We have our next guest. He is an NHL beat writer and a Detroit Lions fan. They didn't lose yesterday. Neither did my Cincinnati Bengals. Help me welcome to the show, Sam McGinnis. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing pretty good. And on a side note for what Steve had to say, actually, if that I was watching the end of that game of the Colts, if that player in the back hadn't come up, T.Y. Hilton would have caught that because he was the only player that actually would have been in the vicinity to be able to stop that ball.
Sam Teets, do you remember when we say if, what Steve Risley says?
I forget, but I'm pretty sure it's something very sassy.
Yeah, I think it's sassy because that's what Steve was always known at in high school and college, sassy Steve Risley. So let's start off with sassy Steve Risley. The Bills went a thriller over the Colts. The Colts, I think it's safe to say, probably outplayed the Bills the entire game. It seemed like they had the ball every second of the game, and the Colts blew it. Do you have issues with Frank Reich not kicking the field goal? And the other thing is, why you go for 2 down 8?
Yeah, hindsight's always 20/20 when you're sitting on a podcast with the headphones on and being able to watch replay and things like that. Although I think my philosophy is in the playoffs, because it's one and done, it's always take whatever points you can get and put them on the board whenever you can put them on the board, because you never know what's going to happen. Going for two is always a big risk. But it's a risk. I thought the play that they ran to try and go for the touchdown on fourth down was a good call. He was open. It just was poorly executed. If that turns out to be a touchdown, that game turns around dramatically. But it didn't. And now you look back and go, we lost by 3. We take the field goal. We tie it up. We go into overtime. Or maybe that changes the outcome of the game enough. We don't try and go for 2. We go for 1. And then we're up by 1. I mean – yeah, the scenarios are endless. I think the big picture here is the Colts gave Buffalo a much tougher game than I think Buffalo thought they were going to have. I think they played heads up with Buffalo for most of the game, less a few calls, and an aging quarterback who, bless his heart, just didn't have the arm strength to move the ball up and down the field with his arm, and then we put the pressure on the running game. And as we said, Mike, you know, this is going to become a one-dimensional game. Colts were likely going to lose that because of the passing offense of the Bills and their quarterback's running game. It just surmounded up. Little pieces came together, just as we called that game. And I think you even said, Mike, you thought it'd be a 3-point game.
Until Phillip Rivers threw an interception at the end. And yeah. The thing is this, though. I don't know why any Colts fan would be upset with Phillip Rivers. He was 27 for 46, 309 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. Phillip Rivers played his ass off. So I didn't see a quarterback that could only throw the ball 10 yards down the field.
Yes and no, but he didn't make any really big game-altering or game-changing plays, which you expect a quarterback to do for you in a playoff situation. He he didn't make any bad mistakes. But I think that when you got a player of Rivers' breadth of knowledge of the game and in the playoff situations, you just expect one or two big plays to come up. T.Y. Hilton, after the first pass, I think he caught the first pass, was effectively pretty much taken out of the game because he would run his routes more than 10 yards downfield. So those numbers, I don't like to gauge wins and losses by statistics and by numbers, although they definitely they tell the story. But I think that this basically was, had there been a younger, a little bit more vibrant quarterback in there, the outcome might have been a little bit differently. But all right, fans should not hang their heads in shame on this one, because a few turnaround things happen. Maybe they go for the field goal. Maybe they don't try the two-point conversion. And again, that's all 2020 now as we're sitting here. That outcome of that game could be completely different. You could be watching the Colts get their asses handed to them by Kansas City next weekend.
All right, Sam Teets, what's your take on the call at the end of the first half? Because really, the call at the end of the first half, either way, changed the complexion of the game. I mean, Rivers drove the Colts to the doorstep. They're leading 10-7. They had four plays inside the four-yard line. On fourth down, Reich opts to go for the touchdown. Rivers couldn't connect with the diving Pittman in the corner of the end zone. Instead of a 17-7 or 13-7 deficit, Buffalo got his chance to flip the script. Allen connected with rookie wide receiver Gabriel Davis. I think I predicted that too, by the way, on a couple close sideline bombs that were absolutely great throws. And before you know it, the Colts are behind at halftime. Do you think that call was all right? And what's your take on the two-point conversion?
I kind of agree with Steve. I know you're playing to win the game, and obviously I think you've said in the past, when we talked about with Mike Zimmer a couple weeks ago, when Minnesota was playing Seattle, you can't necessarily fault the coach for going out there and trying to win the game, trying to put points to take down a team like the Buffalo Bills, up to this point have been playing lights out offensively, especially going back and looking at week 17. I don't necessarily hate the play itself either. I mean, Michael Pittman is, 2 inches away from catching that ball? I mean, it bounced off his hands. It wasn't like he was going – it wasn't like it was in the cusp of his hands, but it was very close. So I don't necessarily hate the play itself. If it was me, I would have much rather taken the 3 points there and just go in and hoping to have a lead over Buffalo at halftime. So I'm not entirely sure. I don't like the idea of going for a touchdown there. I would much rather have taken the field goal. I think the bigger issue with Frank Reich during that game was the execution of the 2-minute drill at the end of the game, because it was so slow and he didn't move the ball downfield nearly enough in your final plays of the game to do anything. But Philip Rivers, I mean, to your point, Steve, I think Philip Rivers had a very good game. I think he did throw downfield a couple of times. He hit Michael Pittman Jr., I know, at least one time for over 30 yards. There were like five or six other throws that went 10 or 20 yards downfield that he actually connected on. So he had a pretty good game. I think Philip Rivers might have had one of the better games of his entire season against Buffalo. And that's generally a defense we thought would have handled him fairly well, especially in the fourth quarter. So I like what the Colts did. I just think a few execution issues cost them this game.
Yeah, I agree. I just think there were just a few plays that they – and a couple of coaching decisions or play-calling decisions. I mean, I just think in a playoff situation, you the whole thing is to get points on the board. Because look how the Colts even still came back in the second half. And like you said, if they manage the 2-minute clock better, they've got a long-range field goal kicker there who's fairly accurate. They can tie that game up, and then you get into overtime, and it's a coin toss at that point.
And I'll also point out, they missed the field goal during the game, too. So if they had made a field goal earlier in the game, it would have been tied at that point.
But that was like a 55-yarder or something, wasn't it? Wasn't it a long one?
I can go back and check the length, but they did miss a field goal at some point during the game.
All right.
Yeah, they had their opportunities to win, and I think the bigger story to me here is Buffalo looked vulnerable to me. Mike, what do you think about that? I thought Buffalo looked very vulnerable here.
They looked vulnerable to tight ends catching the ball. I think this, the Indianapolis Colts are a good football team. We already knew that going in. That's why I didn't think it would be a 15 or 20-point win. Frank Reich made the right call at the end of the first half. I don't agree with the 2-point conversion, but this is the thing. You're giving them the ball at the 4 when you don't get it. If you kick the field goal, you go up 13-7. You still all have a minute and a half and a couple timeouts for Josh Allen. You're going to kick the ball off to him. At worst, they're starting at the 25-yard line, probably. It's a 21-yard field goal or field difference. I don't think you can fault him, and I don't think we could sit here and say, well, if he'd have kicked a field goal and he'd have went for one, then we'd have won by one. That's not how this works, because it changes the way the Buffalo Bills played a game in the fourth quarter. And when I watched that Buffalo Bills team, there's nothing there telling me that the Indianapolis Colts could have stopped what Josh Allen was doing, Sam McGinnis. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think they would have stopped Josh Allen either. And on a note of what we were talking about with Phillip Rivers, yeah, I thought he had a really good day. But if you actually look at the numbers and then look at the points scored, it's still only 24, and you really have to score more than that if you're planning on beating the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, what's right there is, to me, why you don't kick the field goal. If you remember, when I predicted this game, I said the difference would be 3 or 6 points, and I said what will happen is the Colts will not be able to punch it in. When you're settling for field goals against the Buffalo Bills or against the Kansas City Chiefs, you're going to lose. You know, that's what it is. We saw that yesterday with the game we'll talk about in a little bit, Baltimore and Tennessee. You can't settle for field goals when you get there. Baltimore put the ball in the end zone, but Tennessee doesn't have an offense as strong as Buffalo's. And I think with that offense being that strong, if I'm the Indianapolis Colts, I'm on the road. I'm a big underdog. I'm up 10-7. In my opinion, you take the chance to go up 17-7. Because if you do that and you go in and half up 10 points, you're probably going to win the football game. They controlled the game with Jonathan Taylor, who I thought was extremely good yesterday. And it makes me feel good, because that way, I remember week 5 or so, I think it was Sam Teach that made fun of me because I said I thought Jonathan Taylor would be really good. And I agreed with him. He didn't. But Michael Pittman, to me, was a stud. If I'm the Buffalo Bills, Sam Teach, my concern is defending tight ends, because Travis Kelce plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mo Alie-Cox, Trey Burton, Jack Doyle all had big games. I thought that the play calling by the Colts, I think, was good. I don't understand why you're going in a huddle with just over 2 minutes left to play in the game, and you're driving to win the game. But overall, it's the playoffs. And to your question, Steve, since it's the playoffs, if I won the game, I could try to fix whatever happens in the next week. The whole point here is to win the game.
Sure.
And I think Frank Reich was trying to win the game.
We'll take it.
And he was trying to win it at the end of the first half. And this is the thing, Steve. Every Colts fan would have been pissed off if they would have kicked a field goal and then lost the game by 4 points or less, because then they would all said, well, if we'd have went for it there and scored a touchdown, we'd have won the game. You can't make fans happy either way. Frank Reich went for the win. That's what I want to see my team do in a situation like that. I don't want to see them settle for a field goal, especially on the road.
Yeah, and two things to that. One is that's all fine and dandy until you realize, man, we could be playing next weekend. I mean, it's not as far-fetched an idea as I thought it was before the game started. I thought, last time I'm going to wear my Phillip Rivers jersey, and it's going to get put into the Goodwill auction here in a week or two. But then I thought, going through it, I'm thinking, man, well, I might be sitting here next Saturday or Sunday watching the Colts go to Kansas City. That didn't happen. And then the other thing that just kind of baffles me and frustrates me is, you know, we have first and goal on the 4-yard line, and this vaunted offensive line can't make a 4-yard hole in three downs to get one of our running backs through. I mean, come on, guys. You're supposed to be one of the 2 or 3 best offensive lines in the NFL. Show some pride and crack a hole. And, man, we just got stopped every damn time.
Yeah, and the one thing I would say about this, you know, Teets, is going into this, when we ask if it showed weaknesses, the one thing I would be happy with is this. Really, if you look at the rushing game of the Colts, they were successful to an extent, but not really, because Phillip Rivers still had to throw the ball 46 times. If you're going to play the Baltimore Ravens, if Lamar Jackson has to throw the ball 30 times, the Buffalo Bills win that game. So I think that when you look at the matchups, you've got Andrews with Baltimore, but I don't think you've got the plethora of tight ends that you have with the Colts. I think the Bills, this may sound crazy, but I think the Bills may be more built to defend the Ravens than they were the Colts.
No, I mean, I agree. Jonathan Taylor only averaged 3.7 yards per carry, and Nyheim Hines did have 75 rushing yards. I think that's what really blew them away. I'm kind of surprised Buffalo is you got a different speed back comes out there and has a big impact in the game. But I think they're going to be much more ready.
Yeah, and that could be reflection on the offensive line, that the line does do its job. But just when you got first and goal on the 4-yard line, that's a pride factor there. You get the ball in the end zone when you're supposed to be, your offensive line is supposed to be that good, and you're not relying on your left tackle to make a hole for you out there. So don't tell me Costanzo not being in the lineup was an issue there. That's right up the gut with Nelson and then their center and their right guard. You know, that's just punching a hole right up the middle and saying, stop us. We're the Colts offensive line. And they just didn't get it done. Hey,
real quick, let's bring this up because Mike Honcho had a really good point for Sam Teets. Go Browns. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, we can beat this in the ground, and I'm talking more like a fan than a prognosticator. I was proud as a fan that the Colts made the showing that they did. I think Buffalo showed that they – you're right, Mike, the observation you made, Mike and Sam Teets, that they've got some holes. The Buffalo's got some holes to plug if the Colts can come at them like that, because it's only going to get tougher for them. But it was a good way to start the playoffs off. Much better football game than I thought it was going to be.
All right, next up, the Rams stunned the Seahawks. The only person that called that was Steve Risley. And when we looked at this, this may seem crazy, but I think the Rams could go to Green Bay and win. We'll get to that later on. But this defense is the best defense in the NFL. They ran the ball, I think, Sam Teets, better than what we thought they would. I mean, Cam Akers was a monster.
Yeah, and Cam Akers is a really good running back. I was saying that coming out of Florida State. He had no offensive line there in college whatsoever. He came out, he's made an impact with the Rams. It's just that he's kind of hit or miss it sometimes because the offensive line has games where they're very good, and he averages about 4.5 yards per carry, and he has games where they're really bad, and he's getting you 3.5 yards per carry. But they're still going to run the ball regardless. The Rams are dedicated to running the ball 25 to 30 times per game. So you'll get those rushing carries. You'll get the rushing attempts no matter what, especially with Jared Goff still dealing with his thumb injury, which definitely impacted him the other day. I think the key here, though, is got to be the defense. I mean, they have so many good defensive backs led by Darius Williams and Jalen Ramsey, of course, at corner, that they were able to shut down. And DK Metcalf did like 96 yards, but for the most part, he was contained throughout the game. Tyler Lockett didn't do much. And, of course, up front with A'shaun Robinson, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, the pass rush is just monstrous for the Rams.
Yeah, and Sam McGinnis, when we look at this, Seattle couldn't run the ball. Russell Wilson was terrible. The Seattle offensive line, which I thought was their biggest detriment all year, turned out to be that against the Rams' defensive line. My question to you is this. Is DK Metcalf overrated? Because I really don't want a dude in a playoff game, and the first quarter is already crying and whining because he's being destroyed by, you know, the other team's DBs.
Yeah, here's what I have to say about that little shtick. He needs to grow up. It's not that he's overrated. It's that he needs to grow up because he very well – it was, 10-point difference in that game at the end? That's 7 points you cost – forcing your team to throw the ball to you because you were complaining, not that, you know, a coach or a player has to do that based on what he's doing. So I guess that I'd put that a little bit also on the coach and Russell Wilson for letting him force them to, you know, throw him the ball. But frankly, he needs to grow up. And if you're being contained, whatever you need to do that game to help your team win, whether that's catch balls or block well, you need to do.
Well, how about this? I don't know necessarily they forced it to him because he cried like a bitch. Maybe he did. But the thing that I took away from that, Sam Teets, is this. That play works if number 18, the wide receiver, actually goes over and blocks that dude instead of going half speed and letting him run by and pick the pass off and run with it. Because if he runs over and smacks him and gets that block, Metcalf catches that and he gets at least 5 yards. So I'm not going to blame this on Wilson. I'm not going to blame it on Metcalf. I'm going to blame it on the wide receiver who obviously hasn't been coached to block anybody.
Well, yeah, because that's a bang-bang play there where if you're a quarterback, you're getting the ball in your hands, you're turning and you are throwing. You're not asked to make a read on that play because it's expected that Freddie Swain, the rookie wide receiver from Florida who's out there, will get that block, and DK Metcalf will not be impeded on making the catch. And then it's in Metcalf's hands to make a play. But Freddie Swain did not even make an attempt to block the guy. Darius Williams shoots right through it. He read the play perfectly, catches the ball mid-stride, and it's a cakewalk to the answer from there. It's not on DK Metcalf, and it's not on Russell Wilson for that play.
All right, Steve Risley. Jared Goff's horrible. John Wolford looks similar. Are the Rams capable of going to the Super Bowl with just a defense and quarterbacks that are terrible? Because Jared Goff was 9-for-19, 155 and a touchdown. John Wolford was 3-for-6 for 29 yards. Now they got a running game. They got a defense. Can they go to the Super Bowl with this team?
I don't think so. I think that still you're going to get into your upper echelon quarterbacks now. From here on out,
Russell Wilson's pretty much upper echelon.
Season. Yeah, but he hasn't played like it all season long this year. I mean, I agree with you. Put him in the upper tier.
40 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, Steve.
I'm actually going to agree with Steve here. There was a stretch of games where Russell Wilson kept throwing interceptions. So although if you take it from the front of just the season numbers, it looks really great, but he's had some bad games.
Well, everybody's had some bad games, Sam.
And
Aaron Rodgers had more than one bad game.
Hell, the Colts beat the Packers. I know he's had more than one bad game.
Well, he didn't have a bad game in that game, and we've already went through that, so I won't bring the stats up again. But already know his game was fine.
When I went on the Lone Wolf trail and picked the Rams, I said defense wins championships. So I think that the Rams still have one of the better defenses left in the playoffs. It remains to be seen. I thought that Goff did I can't use the word heroic by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, in the shape his thumb had to be in, for him just not to screw it up badly, I think says a lot for what they got out of him, what they needed. He just didn't screw it up, and he didn't make any bad mistakes. He didn't do anything magnanimous to help the team to any great degree, but he handed the ball off well, kept his running game going, threw when he had to throw, kept his balls in range for what his arm and thumb could take, and protected his thumb as much as he could. And, you know, the question now is, and I know he's at getting an MRI this morning, how bad is Aaron Donald? X-rays last night were negative, but they said they were going to bring him in for an MRI this morning.
So I have some information on that.
Okay,
so he's got torn cartilage in his rib, but he's going to play through it.
Sure,
it's just going to be.
And it's only Aaron Donald. Well, a lot of defensive players would do that, but you know, you're not going to lay Aaron Donald down now because of torn cartilage in his ribs. So, in terms of your original question, Mike, no, I don't think the Rams can go much farther than they've gone without a more well-rounded offense now.
And I'm going to do this, Steve. I'm going to disagree. And anybody that answers it can answer it. But right now what I see is a defensive front that can dominate a game. We saw them do this to the Buccaneers. I think they can do it to the Packers. You got no David Bakhtiari. The other thing is this. I don't think the Packers are great against the run. I think the Rams with Cam Akers can run the ball. And I think if you look back at, you know, everybody always wants to bring up the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl and Trent Dilfer was the quarterback. They had Jamal Lewis at running back. They had a dominant defense. When I look at this, the New Orleans Saints are the New Orleans Saints. Somewhere along the line, they're going to screw this up. Whether it's this week or the next week or the week after, they're going to come up short, and they're going to come up short in a horribly painful way. Mm-hmm. When you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Rams defense is built to just destroy the Buccaneers offense. When you look at the Rams against the Packers, that D-line can get after Aaron Rodgers. Those DBs are better than Aaron Rodgers' wide receivers. When you look at that, they most certainly can make it to the Super Bowl. Could they win a Super Bowl? I mean, we saw them almost beat Buffalo in Buffalo. I mean, the Rams against the Chiefs right now seems like it would be a mismatch, but I don't know which side that mismatch would come on because I don't think the Chiefs could move the ball at a high. I don't think the Chiefs could throw 30 points on the Rams.
Right, my concern, Mike, in that is as you move forward in games are going to get harder. You're going to beat the snot out of that defense. I mean, you're going to put a lot of pressure on them. They're going to be taking a lot of shots, a lot of hits, tackling a lot of hard running backs. You know what happened to Donald might start manifesting itself in some other defense. I mean, that you're going to put a lot of pressure on that defense. Can they hold up for three more games?
Well, how about this? You're going to have to put an awful lot of pressure on the offenses that they play against. Can they hold up? Can a 43-year-old Tom Brady, can a 42-year-old Drew Brees, can a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers hold up to that defensive pressure? I think this defensive pressure is something that destroys the offense of the other team. It destroys the defense of the other team. And if you have a defense that's coming out, and, you know, we saw it, was that when Green Bay played Tampa Bay, or not Green Bay, but when Tampa Bay played the Rams, that was over quick. I mean, that game was a complete domination, because what you get, no matter how good a quarterback you are, and we've seen it, Aaron Rodgers' bad games, Russell Wilson's bad game the other day, Russell Wilson's other bad games. When a quarterback has a bad game and he's an elite quarterback, it's all caused from one thing, and that's pressure. Nobody likes to get hit in the mouth. I don't care if you're Tom Brady, Joe Montana, whoever you are, nobody likes to get smacked in the mouth. And that's what happens when you play the Rams. So I think this, I think if Aaron Donald is healthy, I think the Rams will go to Lambeau Field, and I think they'll beat them.
Okay.
Let me add this in here. So I was going to say, like, they have a very good defensive front. Obviously, we've been all over that. But it's secondary for the Rams, arguably just as good as the defensive front itself. I mean, they've got
this defense looks possibly maybe on par with the Seattle Seahawks defense.
That's where I was going to go. It's got both things. It's got the units. I don't think the one difference could be maybe linebacker, but really they don't rely on the linebackers that much for the Rams because they put so much pressure on them. They have extra defensive backs who are sitting on the bench. They come on. They have five or six defensive backs on the field, and they're all good. So they don't have very many flaws here. And with Aaron Rodgers is not as mobile as he was 5 or 6 years ago. He's not going to be scrambling away from Aaron Donald or anything like that. That's not happening. And they have flaws. My biggest concern here will be it comes down to the turnover battle, I think. Who has more turnovers at the end of this Green Bay-Los Angeles game? Because if Jared Goff throws two interceptions, so then Green Bay is probably going to win. If it's the other way and Jared Goff protects the football and Aaron Rodgers has two picks, I think it's going to be the Rams that are going to win. It's going to come down to which quarterback makes the most mistakes.
Aaron Rodgers has been known to make mistakes in playoff games. We saw him doing it against Atlanta. I know, and that's not just because of Mike McCarthy, but in a large part it is from Mike McCarthy. So Cowboys keep Mike McCarthy. Next up, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers outlasted the Washington Redskins, because that's their name. And when I watched this game, I didn't. I watched the fourth quarter when I realized, hey, this is a game. And Sam McGinnis, when we watched this game, Tom Brady was Tom Brady, but Washington may have found a quarterback. I like that kid.
Yes, for the future, for sure. I was surprised. I remember looking on my phone at the score because I wasn't watching the game at the time either. I looked down and I was like, wait a second. This isn't a blowout. So I think it's, first off, incredible that he was able to do something against a Tampa Bay defense that is very good. And then on top of that, that they were able to hold Tom Brady in the offense for a little while there.
Now, Sam Tease, do you remember – like a year ago when Tom Brady signed with the Buccaneers, do you remember who it was that we had on the show who ripped the Buccaneers defense how it was terrible and their offensive line was terrible and Tom Brady was getting his career miserably? Do you remember who that was?
You know, I don't, but was it me? Was it me? That wasn't me. It couldn't have not been me.
I think it was the guy sitting right up above you.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah, you know what? It was the same guy. He seems to hit on a lot of the NFC South quarterbacks quite a bit.
I have to say, I'm wrong a lot, but I'm going to hold my opinions high here because the fact of the matter is confidence is a lot of this. I will say I do hold to Drew Brees will collapse, and I might just put it on this game.
Oh, he's going to collapse in this game. Tom Brady's going to beat him. And the thing is, the Saints are a significantly better team, and we've seen that both times they've played.
Hold up. Don't fool yourself. Drew Brees is the problem in the playoffs for the Saints.
He is not. It's Sean Payton.
It's a crazy play calling.
It's Sean Payton.
Taysom Hill was in the game the other day. Taysom Hill, it was an interception or fumble he had the other day against Chicago, against a better team. That could be a one-score game towards the end. Taysom Hill, whenever Taysom Hill steps on the football field, the turnovers for New Orleans go way up. But Sean Payton still keeps putting Taysom Hill on the football field, even though it's clearly hurting the team.
Let's put it like this, Sam. Sean Payton has a very high opinion of himself, and he will let that cloud his judgment and his decisions, where Bill Belichick probably doesn't for the most part. And, you know, Mike Tomlin's an idiot because the Steelers lost to the Browns. All right, Steve, when you look at this game, I mean, the Bucs to me, They could win a Super Bowl with a 43-year-old Tom Brady. When you looked at the Washington football team, or as I like to call them, the Redskins, Washington played, I thought, about as well as they could in this game. They stayed in the game. I think the issue here was Washington couldn't run the ball. I think Gibson had 14 carries for 31 yards. But this is a solid win for the Bucs. The Bucs have been trending in the right direction. What do you think about Tampa Bay's shot or chances the rest of the season?
I think they're at least as good as anybody else's. I think when you have Tom Brady playing as well as Tom Brady's playing right now, you know, at quarterback, Tom Brady is just not a man who I believe at this point in the season is going to beat himself. And I don't know that we can say that about Rodgers, about Breeze. You know, Mahomes has not had the year that he had the year before. Let's face it. I mean, and he still is Patrick Mahomes, but he's not had the year. I mean, he's capable of beating himself possibly, but Brady is just the one guy that if I had to lay down $100 and say, who's the one quarterback who's not going to beat himself? You got to go with Brady. And not making critical mistakes in the playoffs is paramount. So I would say right now, the Bucs have as good a chance as anybody to get this done and keep moving forward.
How about this? I would say this. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to the Super Bowl, and I think that is a no doubt as long as Sam Teets, Leonard Fournette keeps running for close to 100 yards, and Antonio Brown starts to look like Antonio Brown more and more.
No, those are the two key factors here. Marlon Jones was set to be the star going into this game for Tampa Bay, but I believe he got hurt during warm-ups, and it's questionable if he's going to be able to play or not. Marlon Jones has been the primarily starter back for them throughout the year, but Leonard Fournette had a great game yesterday against what's supposedly a good Washington defensive front, so I assume that he's able to replicate that. And Antonio Brown, I mean, 2 catches for 49 yards and a touchdown. He's been way more involved in the offense the past 5 weeks. I think he has 5 touchdowns in his last 5 games. So now you're bringing Antonio Brown onto a team that has up Mike Evans, that has Chris Godwin, that's got Rob Gronkowski, who didn't catch a ball the other day, but he handled Chase Young when they were trying to block Chase Young in the run game and the passing game. Chase Young didn't have a sack all day. So you've got all these weapons here. And with AB coming out there, and now AB is getting all these mismatches, suddenly this offense becomes better than any other offense out there, better than what Green Bay has at this point, better than what Kansas City potentially has at this point.
All right, next up, we go to yesterday's games. The Ravens defense gets it done. They win 20-13 over the Tennessee Titans after being behind 10-0 early in the game. The thing that stands out to me here, Derrick Henry, 18 carries for 40 yards. He looked frustrated in the first half. And, you know, when I look at this, you know, there's always the stat that there's only been like one or two rushing leaders in the history of the NFL to win a Super Bowl, Sam Teets. And I think that this shows a lot of the problem because, to me, it was obvious by late first quarter that Tennessee needed to open this up and try to get the ball in A.J. Brown's hands instead of just handing the ball off to Derrick Henry on first down, every first down.
Well, yeah, I think the stat is that 11 of those 18 carries, he was met behind the line of scrimmage by Baltimore Ravens defenders. And this is what getting Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue can do for the Baltimore Ravens. You add Campbell is playing defensive tackle in their scheme. You've got Ngakoue, who's an edge rusher. Suddenly, you've got two more Pro Bowl caliber players along the defensive front, and it's much better than what it did last year. You play much better. And for Tannehill and A.J. Brown, they opened the game pretty hot because A.J. Brown had 2 or 3 catches against Marlon Humphrey in the first quarter, including a touchdown catch. But then everything else kind of went quiet after that. He had 6 catches on the game, so he basically had 3 in the first quarter and then nothing after that. So I don't know what happened here. The offense basically collapsed on itself, and they were not able to adjust to what Baltimore was giving them.
Yeah, to me, the entire difference in this game, Sam McGinnis, was the fact that John Harbaugh coaches one team and he didn't coach the other. I thought coaching was the biggest difference in this game.
Yeah, it was well done. And like we were talking about earlier when we were talking about this game when we were making our picks, is Derrick Henry is often, whether over 100 yards or under 100 yards, can be the difference in games. And when you know that, I think they contained him very well, as we were talking about, only 40 yards on, what, 18 carries?
Yeah, and the thing that struck me was the fact that Mike Vrabel continued to pound him in there, and I know he's a guy to get stronger as the game goes, but with that Ravens defense, I mean, you got Ryan Tannehill, who had a really good football, a really good season. He's the better passing quarterback in this game. and he ends up 18 for 26 for 165 yards. You have to throw the ball against Baltimore.
Yeah. It's interesting just to see Derrick Henry not do as well, especially since he's kind of been a factor that's blown the Ravens to pieces. And then also, that this is one of the things I was talking about. I think Steve and I both agreed on this, is that Ryan Tannehill would have to be the difference in this game because they would shut Derrick Henry down. And then he wasn't.
So that's not his fault, though, because he wasn't allowed to be.
Yeah. You got to give him a shot.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the thing, Steve. When you run the ball on every first down and second down, and all your third downs are third and nine against a pass rush like Baltimore has, it makes it really hard for the quarterback to be successful. And I would say this, the Ravens, I mean, J.K. Dobbins only had 43 yards, 38 yards for Edwards. The guy that stood out to me was Marquise Brown with seven receptions for 109 yards.
Yeah, I felt the same thing with the Colts, too. The Colts, same thing. You can't just try running 2 yards, 3 yards in a cloud of dust on first down every play. That's especially hard for run-based football programs to do, such as the Titans and the Colts both are. When you rely on Derrick Henry and you rely on that yardage, you've got to mix it up more and make yourself a little bit more unpredictable in your offensive scheme, because it does – pretty much handcuffed Tannehill to, you know, he's only going to throw on third down, and then he becomes easy to defend. And that's a lot what happened to Philip Rivers as well. It's just, well, okay, he's not going to throw to third down. Then we just stick two extra defensive backs in there, and he's got nowhere to go. Fortunately, he had a good tight end set, but it's the same thing for Tennessee. What amazed me more about the NFL football game was, I mean, Baltimore wasn't even masked what they were going to do offensively. They were giving the ball to Jackson, and then just letting him run. And they were saying, we're not even going to try and do anything else. We're not even going to hand it off. We're just going to let him go up the middle. And Tennessee had nothing to stop him.
Well, they had nothing to stop him.
What did he run for, 139 yards?
Yeah, Tennessee's defense is not very good. My concern, if I'm a Ravens fan, is the fact that I only scored 20 points. I mean, they only scored 20 points. And this is the thing. It seemed like they just couldn't stop him on third down when he ran.
Which is critical.
Yeah, it is more than critical. It'll get your ass beat and have you sitting on Monday listening to idiots like us pick apart.
Out-coached. Give him 2020 Spectre vision on what's going on here, but they didn't even try and mask that Lamar's going to run the ball. It's like, okay, yeah, third down, we're going to need seven. We're gonna run some quarterback draw up the middle. Stop us if you can. Oh, you can't? Fine, we'll do it again the next series plays.
All right, next up, the New Orleans Saints beat the Chicago Bears 21-9. This is a game, Sam Teets, that when I watched it, the Bears had chances. I mean, you have the pass that goes between the dude's hands. They had multiple opportunities to have a shot in this game. And it's the Saints. If they make that touchdown catch and another play here or there, the Saints would have figured out a way maybe to lose that game to them. But if I'm the Bears, it's time for Matt Nagy, who I think is a good coach, but he doesn't need to be the Bears coach anymore. And Mitchell Trubisky, I think they both need to go elsewhere.
Yeah, same with general manager Ryan Pace. I think it's time for some changes in Chicago. And Javon Williams, you're right. Javon Williams makes that catch there. It's an entirely different ball game. And you're looking at it being close at halftime. I think Chicago actually would have been leading 10-7 at halftime, I believe, because I think that happened in the first half.
Well, they'd have been 10-7 after the catch. Now there's a problem.
It would have been a significant game changer.
Like Mitchell Trubisky's best pass of the night was when he was lined up as a wide receiver.
Exactly. You know, sometimes you have to try dynamic stuff to get Mitchell Trubisky to play better. But, yeah, I think Matt Nagy's probably done in Chicago after the season, but I don't think that's a bad thing per se for Nagy, because, I mean, he could get fired in Chicago. He might get a better head coaching job somewhere else. I mean, let's be real. There's some decent jobs out there where you could hire someone. Like, if he goes to – I mean, what if he ended up in Jacksonville? I think Jacksonville might not be a bad spot for Matt Nagy, considering all the young players are going to have offensively. But right now, looking at New Orleans, they did a little bit of everything. But Drew Brees played fairly well. Alvin Kamara had 99 rushing yards. You got some receivers involved, not just Michael Thomas. So I think there's something here for the Saints, but 21-9 against the Chicago Bears, I'm not filled with the most faith in the Saints moving forward.
Well, let's face it, it's really a 21-3 game, but still, when you have Drew Brees, who's 28-39 for 265 and two touchdowns, Alvin Kamara runs for almost 100 yards, Deontay Harris, 7 catches, 83 yards, Michael Thomas was back, 5 for 73 yards. When you look at that, you expect to be much more dominant, Sam McGinnis, than what the Saints were.
Yeah, I was very concerned at this point. The fact that the victory wasn't convincing is another reason to look at next week and wonder if that's the week the Saints are going to collapse, because they'll blame it on something every year. Oh, the ref call. The refs were bad the whole game, by the way. Or they'll be like, oh, you know, it's never we lost the game. Listen, you screwed it up. In the Vikings game, in the Rams game, not just being able to punch it in for a touchdown in the first place, in multiple situations. And I think they'll find a way to screw themselves over here too against Tampa Bay. And I think the Bears, if they had been far more convincing, if they had beaten the Bears more, if those stats turned into points, I would have been more convinced. But I'm very concerned on this Saints.
Well, let me put it this way. It was still a convincing win by the end of the fourth quarter, because it was basically 21-3. And as Mike mentioned, they scored a touchdown there towards the very end, the last play of the game when time ran out. They didn't even kick the extra
point. That was a great catch, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that was a great catch by Jimmy Graham. You just wish he did it earlier. But you know, the Saints, by the end of the game, the Saints had a pretty convincing lead.
All right, Steve Risley, same thing. Any concern with only the 21 points? Because when you look at the way the Saints defense played, you look at the way Alvin Kamara ran the ball, the way Drew Brees threw the ball, it seems like this should have been 42-3.
Seems like it should have been. But, my question is, how good a defense does Chicago have? I mean, I thought their defense played fairly well and held their own. Sam, you're shaking your head. No.
It's middle of the road. It's like, generally speaking, it's probably like a top 12 defense in the NFL this year. It's not elite, but it's good. So
that's the first time in 2 years I actually heard Khalil Mack's name mentioned. So since the Bears traded the all of City of Chicago to Oakland to get him, I thought defensively, and of course it's an old Colt coach in that defense, Chuck Pagano. Mike, do you elevate Pagano into the head job in the Bears?
I think the way the defense played yesterday, I think Pagano should be fired too.
Okay,
I didn't think the defense played well. Their defensive scheme made no sense. They played bend but don't break.
So what do you attribute to the breakdown in the Saints offense then? I mean, you're right. That for that offense to only put 21 points on the board, that's pretty pathetic for that offense.
Well, the other thing is this. What's time of possession for this game? Let me see.
I looked at it earlier. It's so far to the Saints. I'll pull it up right now, but it's
incredibly far in favor of the Saints. 38-21.
They just weren't in the deal.
Yeah, well, the thing is this, though. I would say anytime my defense is on the field for 40 minutes, it's a little bit of my offense's fault, but it's also a little of my defense's fault. Third down efficiency for the Saints, they were 11-17. If Chuck Pagano calls a great game and his defense played that well, they wouldn't be 11-17. The difference in the game is they had the ball 40 minutes, they're 11-17 on third downs. The Bears have it for 20 minutes and they're 1-10. Of course, that's part of the reasons they only had the ball for 20 minutes. So I think everybody in Chicago that's a coach and a GM should be fired. I thought the way they played yesterday was absolutely putrid. I think that players themselves played their asses off. I just don't think they were coached very well when I watched this game. They only had 11 first downs. They gave up almost 30 first downs. So my concern here more is the New Orleans offense not being able to convert this into more than 21 points.
Do we assume that this is Brees' last year? I mean, there's a lot of hinting going on toward that he's done after this year.
Yeah, I heard something. He already signed a contract with some network to be an analyst or something.
Yeah, he signed that, I think, a year ago, though. Like, it was already set up well in advance before his retirement. But I believe that this is his last year. Because, I mean, let's be honest, if you lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this coming week, what makes you think next year's going to be any different?
Yeah.
It won't be. It'll be the same thing all over.
I think the Saints should definitely go after Trubisky.
For what?
The quarterback.
Why would you do that?
I'm teasing.
They've already got that. They've got Taysom Hill.
Look, you know me, guys. I have been a Trubisky fan.
I wasn't kidding.
Because if I thought he was a blue collar.
You know what his name was. Blue collar. His name's Mitchell. There's nobody blue collar named Mitchell Trubisky. who wants to be, and he doesn't want to be called Mitch. He wants to be called Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Yes. Okay. That would be like Sam wanting to be called.
I think that the Bears are going to, before they're to be any more successful than they've been, they're going to have to do some serious changing around with their quarterback position. They're not going to get any farther with Mitchell Trubisky.
I hate to tell you this, Steve, but they've been saying that same thing since Sid Luckman retired in the early 50s in Chicago.
Well, I like Bobby Douglas. Come on.
Bobby Douglas was just a runner. All right. Yeah. Runners don't win.
Wasn't he the last quarterback to run for 1,000 yards in the NFL?
No, I'm pretty sure that's Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson? Okay.
You were close, though, Steve.
There you go.
I think Fran Tarkenton might have done it. Randall Cunningham might have. All right. This is my favorite part of the show. All right. Are you all ready?
Mike, is this where you and I get to feel good about ourselves?
The Browns won a playoff game. They didn't just win a playoff game. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, who just 6 weeks ago.
He's gone.
Just 6 weeks ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers were 11-0. Now they're not. Now they're done. Now they're third in the AFC North. They didn't even win the division, because to win the division, you would have to play the divisional playoff game. And if you look at the AFC North, two teams are in AFC divisional playoff games. The Steelers are tied with the Bengals for the basement. But the Steelers are now last because the Bengals beat them earlier in the season. All right. When we look at this game, 28-0, one quarter in. Big Ben threw what? Four interceptions. I think maybe we'll just call him Old Ben from now on.
He looked old yesterday, too.
Every time I watched him, he could not throw the ball downfield. So they started throwing all these short passes to the outside. And every time he tried to throw in the middle or downfield, it was awful.
Well, he was 47 for 68 for 501 yards, four touchdowns, four interceptions. Juju Smith-Schuster, the mouth of the East, I guess, 13 receptions for 157 yards. Their stats look pretty good until you go over and you look at the Cleveland Browns, whose stats don't look near as good. Baker was 21 for 34, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Nick Chubb ran for 76, Kareem Hunt for 48. The stats aren't anything mind-blowing here, but I guess when the other team gives you the ball on the other side of the field constantly, this is what happened. Baker Mayfield, 21 for 34, 263, three touchdowns. I'm going to go to the person who's ripped him all year long, Sam Teets. Sam, what do you think?
I'm sort of confused how he did better against a defense full of starters than he did against the Week 17 Pittsburgh defense, where they had half the players were – second or third stringer. So I'm kind of confused where that came from. But at the same point, you have to give all the credit to him and to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, to those guys for rising for this occasion and just completely destroying Pittsburgh's defense. I mean, they did. Baker Mayfield did not get sacked all day. There wasn't even a quarterback hit on Baker Mayfield. The offensive line for Cleveland played lights out. Pittsburgh could not tackle. The offensive line for Pittsburgh was terrible. Marquise Pouncey obviously gives the Cleveland Browns an easy 7 points at the start of the game. And Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, didn't even dive for that ball. Didn't even try to make an attempt on to hit that loose ball and stop it from going to the end zone. So
I'm going to comment on that. He about crawled to that football. He was on all hands and knees.
But Big Ben never even got on the ground.
No, he got on the ground one time.
He got on the ground 5 seconds after the ball get knocked into the end zone. He was so far behind it.
He fell down, and he was on all his hands and knees. Kind of crawling, half-ass crawl to the football, and then he just said, to hell with it, I'm not going after this. He reared up on his feet and walked away.
It's a great way for a miserable human being to end his career. We all have to admit that.
You know what it looked like? Is it looked like Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl a few years back when they were playing Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're similar guys. So the thing is this. That's why Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Tom Brady had been on that ball.
Hey, here's a good stat by Greg. The Browns did win more games against playoff teams, four, than Tampa Bay, who's only won one game against the playoff team. Good call, Greg.
But this is – I don't know what that
has to do. Why don't we have this guy on the show?
We've asked Greg before to come on the show.
Greg. That's good insight.
Well, hey, the Browns also
– aren't you boys are watching Nickelodeon, NFL on Nickelodeon. You know, they're watching the gear everybody get slimed, and they're not bringing out stats like this.
That was just McGinnis that did that, probably.
No, Teets there with him, too.
I'm kidding. Teets was kidding? Eating popcorn, watching Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon, yeah.
I think
he got slimed.
You know what's? You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking since Risley is the first person to brought it up, Risley was probably sitting there with these dogs watching Nickelodeon, and he figured, hey, I'm going to make fun of the young kids for doing this, too.
What channel is Nickelodeon on?
I have no idea.
Nickelodeon?
Well, I don't know. What channel is it on? I got like 800 channels on my TV.
We don't know the number.
No, I mean, we got 800 channels out here in L.A.
There's no
we got
number.
Like 12 different languages. Everything's got to be broadcasted.
I got YouTube TV, so you just got to scroll down until it says Nickelodeon.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It can't be any worse than watching the game announcers call the games. Hell. But it did look like they showed green slime got thrown up whenever somebody scored, which the Cleveland Browns did a lot. And I'll tell you, this game was obvious the Browns were going to win to me and Steve Risley. I don't know what the hell the two Sams were thinking, but this is the thing. You had one good half of football for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the last month and a half.
Against the Colts.
To think that they, and the Colts gave it to them with not running the ball.
Yeah.
And the thing is this, the Cleveland Browns were a hungry team. They hadn't been in this situation. Baker Mayfield, no matter what you think, Teets, is a good quarterback. And I remember having this argument when I remember McGinnis was on with those awful quarterback power rankings that I'm getting ready. I'm going to try to run for president next time. So I'm trying to get into character for the debates. But those awful, you know, quarterback power rankings that you probably should have been impeached for, Teets. You had like 6 or 7 weeks into the season, you had Mayfield like 23. And I believe McGinnis was on too. And I told you were nuts. He should be top 14, and you told me I was a moron.
I did. I told you were a moron. They pulled the first time they played Pittsburgh this year. They pulled Baker Mayfield and put Case Keenum at the end of the game, like the fourth quarter. I missed that time. I missed that time quite a bit right now.
And that was how long ago?
It feels like years at this point, but it was probably like 2 or 3 months.
You know, the only thing that feels years ago to you is when your team successfully won a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, because that was over 10 years ago.
Oh, hold it. And you're the one to talk on? Neither of us are ones to talk on this, so I don't really.
Hey, McGinnis, you're not one to talk, McGinnis, because you're not in charge of this show and you can't pull the plug whenever you want. So you're going to have to be quiet up there, Sammy. Seems like I'm going after the Sams more than I am Steve today. That seems weird, but that's because Steve had common sense enough not to watch the playoffs on Nickelodeon, and he picked the Browns to win. I mean, you can sit here. I have never once bragged about my team being anything ever, you know. And you know, right. Old Teets comes on at the start of the year. I'm gonna pick my team every week.
I did to the very end.
I didn't pick the Colts. I did not pick my team.
No, I didn't say you. I'm talking about Teets.
Yeah.
Because you know, Risley has sense enough to just pick decent too, instead of picking the Pittsburgh Steelers with old Ben Roethlisberger. Now, what are they going to do when old Ben Roethlisberger decides he wants to come back again next year?
He's already said he wanted to, and he's got like a $41 million cap it or something like that.
He wants to.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's what they could do. I think they actually save like $20 million if they just cut him. They're going to take the cap it, but they just cut him. I think they save $20 million.
And Greg Gorecki said he used to work on football here in Canada for 12 years from 84 to 96. Now, the good thing here is, Greg, Steve Risley didn't even know there was football in Canada until right now.
I did, too.
That's just because I told you
about the Canadian Cup.
The Canadian Cup? What the hell is the Canadian Cup? It's called the Grey Cup. It's like 30 years older than the Super Bowl, by the way.
No. Lucas told me they're changing it to the Canadian Cup.
Lucas didn't tell you anything.
Yes, he did.
Lucas too busy apologizing for golfers that say bad homophobic words on.
What did he say?
I don't know. It was the F word with G, and I don't know. I'm not going to say it because then I'll get in trouble too. But it was Justin Thomas. He got upset and he yelled at himself for missing a shot.
Well, I pinpointed the spot in the broadcast where.
How about
it was supposed to be? I couldn't hear it.
The same word that Tom Brenneman used to get kicked off of Cincinnati Reds games.
No, okay.
Okay. Good enough?
Good enough. Move on.
All right.
Stay on football.
So, I don't even know what to say about this game because it just made me so happy, Sam Teets.
Made me happy. I'm happy for Cleveland.
It was awesome.
I just want Cleveland to win.
Like I said before, I hate Cleveland. I don't care if Cleveland ever wins anything, but
you're happy.
My favorite team in the whole world is whoever plays the Pittsburgh Steelers. In football, my favorite team, college football, my favorite team is Alabama. And the reason it's Alabama is because my favorite team in college football is whatever team is playing Ohio State.
I can agree with that one.
Now, be quiet, Clemson. Got smacked by the Buckeyes. All right.
Yeah, I got to go all Big Ten, Mike. I got to stay Big Ten.
So you cheer for Ohio State?
Well, I got to cheer for the Big Ten. If that's Ohio State, it's Ohio State.
Why would you cheer for the Big Ten if you're an IU fan and IU got screwed out of playing for the Big Ten championship this year?
They didn't get screwed.
Okay, so the rule wasn't
They were not ready to be where Ohio State is.
Here we go, McGinnis.
Nobody said they were.
So the best Big Ten team is playing in the national championship game.
They should be, but they shouldn't have been playing in the Big Ten championship game. I've got no problem with them.
I heard that argument last week, and I agree with you. But the best Big Ten team is playing tonight.
No kidding. That's what I just said, and they should be.
So
but
I
they
agree.
Shouldn't
so
have been in the Big Ten championship game because they didn't qualify for it. There are rules.
Hey, I'm sick and tired of seeing
Joe Biden said this is a nation of laws, and we have to follow.
I'm sick and tired of Saban sitting there going, Affleck.
Oh, the Affleck commercials.
It's better than those Baker Mayfield commercials in Cleveland Stadium.
Yeah, what, does he live in that stadium or something, or what?
That's the joke. That's a joke, Steve. He doesn't really live there.
Oh, okay.
Bernie Kosar lives there now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He became homeless. He moved in. But
I thought it was a great win for the city of Cleveland, for Cleveland. It's something that city can claim that LeBron James didn't have his hand on. So,
hey, can they beat the Chiefs? We'll start off with Sam McGinnis. Can they beat the Chiefs?
No. Just straight up, no.
Well, that's a stupid answer. This is the NFL. Yes. They don't call it any given Sunday. We watched the Bengals beat the Steelers. We watched the Browns score 48 on the Steelers in the playoffs. We watched the Browns beat the Steelers last week. We watched the Washington football team, really named the Redskins, beat the Steelers. Anything can happen. But as long as the Steelers got beat, everything else is good with me right now because the Steelers got beat. The Steelers lost to the Browns. Back-to-back weeks, the Steelers lost to the Browns. It was sad. Hey, Steve Risley, did you know that the Cleveland Browns beat the Pittsburgh Steelers the last two times they played them, and it was in these last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, McGinnis. Sorry to interrupt you about Pittsburgh losing to the Cleveland Browns.
First off, Kansas City won't make the same mistakes that Pittsburgh did. Pittsburgh might as well have given them that game just from the beginning.
No, I don't buy. No, nobody ever gives anybody a game. They don't. You have to win.
Turnovers?
Dude, they had to force the turnovers or they had to catch the ball. How many times have we seen a team lose a game after a game and say, well, if we wouldn't have dropped that interception, they made the plays. You can't say, I mean, Baker Mayfield didn't make those mistakes. Ben Roethlisberger did. All right. So don't tell me they gave it to him. I mean, it wasn't given to Browns outplayed them.
Let me rephrase then. They made it far easier for them to win that game.
Yeah, I can agree.
So, first off, Kansas City won't make those mistakes. Second off, Kansas City's offense will also score points, and their defense will be better against the Browns than Pittsburgh's was. And frankly, he won't be throwing four interceptions, so it'll make it far easier for Kansas City to win that game. And honestly, here's a question I have. Did they just keep Ben Roethlisberger in at a certain point just for the sake that it was Ben Roethlisberger?
They kept him in for the sake that all they had is Josh Dobbs and Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, that and also, I mean, McGinnis, if we're being realistic, he played better. He had him within 12 points at some point in the third quarter.
No, so he was moving like it back,
It wasn't like he was awful throughout the entirety of the game. There was maybe about a 10-minute window there where there was some hope, and it was all gone after that. But
I mean, I can't blame the first play of the game on Roethlisberger. That was an idiot center who snapped it over his head.
Yeah, come on.
Hell, that wasn't Big Ben's fault.
Well, it could be his fault for not.
Hell, I'm 6'8", that ball would have gone over my head.
He could have made a better effort to get on that. But
it's kind of like when Cam Newton just stood there and looked at the fumble during the Super Bowl.
I will say this. Cleveland has a chance to beat Kansas City. You think about it. Mahomes has thrown three interceptions in a game this year. He has not played in 2 weeks. The last time we saw him was against Atlanta. And talk about those plays that defenses didn't make.
They struggled with the interception
would have sealed the game for Atlanta in the fourth quarter of that game. So there's the chance here that Mahomes comes out here, is just cold because he hasn't played in 2 weeks, and the last like two or three games he played was bad. They don't have a running game in Kansas City. And if Cleveland comes out and they run the ball for 208 yards or something like that, and Baker Mayfield doesn't turn the ball over, there's a chance that Cleveland could win this game. It's not out of the question.
And we have seen teams play them. Like, I mean, I remember watching the Colts do it to them last year, where you just run the ball between the tackles. And Cleveland is a team that can run the ball between the tackles. These are two NFL football teams. And let's face it, we've got 5 or 6 days before that game. Patrick Mahomes could have COVID by then, Steve Risley.
You know, I think the thing you better not overlook is this Mayfield character is playing with some steely resolve and some ferocity that you might not have expected out of him yet. He's playing a little bit, if not well above, where you would expect his development to be at this point in time. He's emerging quickly as a good leader in the NFL at the quarterback position. Maybe not statistically, but he's got this team cranking. They're rallied behind him, and he's not making a lot of terrible mistakes, and he's getting things accomplished and things done. And I would not want to face Cleveland right now if I was anybody. They're just a dangerous football team.
Yeah, but I think it's safe to say that if I'm Kansas City's head coach, I'd much rather play Cleveland than Buffalo or Baltimore.
Right now. I don't know that. Yeah. Not watching Buffalo play.
Why? Buffalo scored at will, basically, against the Colts.
They what?
They scored, seemed like, every time they had the ball.
Well, you know, it ends up being a three-point game. And the Colts had a legitimate chance to win that game.
Well, you know what? In every one of these games, teams. Hey, Washington had a legitimate chance to win.
Right, they did. And Washington
Rams. The Ram or the Seahawks had a legitimate chance. Every one of these.
No, they didn't. No. I disagree. The Rams just took them out of everything.
Okay.
Seattle had no chance to win that game.
This is the thing. Seattle, I mean, they had a legitimate chance to win the game.
They were hoping things would happen for them.
All I'm telling you is this is the NFL. These are playoff teams. Anything can happen. There is no game here. The Chicago Bears, if they catch that pass and are up 10-7 at halftime, that game changes entirely because all the pressure becomes on them. If Seattle would have come out and scored early and gotten a lead, I think they would have beat the Rams because that pressure would have got to the Rams quarterbacks who suck. So I think this, everybody's got a chance at the start of the game.
Yeah. But
when you look at it, I mean,
dangerous. They're well-rounded, well-balanced.
Okay, they're not as dangerous as Buffalo because Buffalo possesses the best quarterback in the NFL. And the best
you didn't show it yesterday.
No, hold on. So Josh Allen didn't show you was the best quarterback in the NFL?
Mike, breaking news. The Eagles have fired Doug Peterson.
Well, good for them. Now let's get back to Josh Allen. Tell me this. Josh Allen was 26 for 35 for 324 yards and 2 touchdowns. How did he not prove that he was elite?
He let the Colts stay in the game.
He did?
They only put 3 more points on the board.
He did. He let them stay in the game, so he was playing defense. I mean, time of possession, the Colts had the ball 35 minutes to 25 minutes.
I just came away from that game having listened to you guys talk about Josh Allen. You're looking at your silly quarterback power rankings. And
you make fun of us. You got a cold shirt on. But, and your haircut looks like it's from 1962.
You know what? You know, unfortunately out here, the barbershops have been closed for about 12
weeks. That's always the excuse.
You know, Mike, let me see your hair.
When's I don't have any hair. I don't need any hair. Why would I need hair?
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay.
Why don't we do this? You take your shirt off, I'll take my shirt off. That's what I thought. Because you didn't bring your training bra today. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. And McGinnis is going to be bald soon anyways.
Yeah, I got a quick question, though, going back to the Cleveland Browns real quick.
Go Red Wings.
You've mentioned many times how you think teams can lose games by being just happy to be there. Do you think the Browns, after having proved everybody wrong, could be just happy to be
there? No, I don't think this team. No, I don't think that Mayfield's going to let them feel that way. I think they're there to win it now. I think they believe they can.
My thing is this. I don't worry about just happy to be there. The thing that worries me, and it worried me on two teams that I saw win this week, and those were yesterday. It worries me about the Baltimore Ravens, and it worries me about Cleveland because of how freaking happy they were when those games were over, if you know what I mean. I mean, when you watch the Saints, it's like, we won. We got Tampa Bay, same thing. We won. We got stuff to do still. Buffalo, really the same thing. But to me, it worried me about how the Ravens acted. And I'm not saying they acted poorly. I mean, they danced on the logo. I mean, if you got a problem with that, then you got a problem with the Titans. The Titans danced on their logo, a month or so ago. Hey, turnaround's fair play. You don't want to dance on your logo. Don't get your ass beat. So when I look at it, it worries me just because Baltimore seems so excited and Cleveland seems so excited to win those games.
Yeah, but come on, Mike. Cleveland can't be excited. They just got the biggest playoff monkey of any team left in the playoffs off their back.
Right. So if you're home
winning a playoff game for the first time in 20 years.
Hey, if your whole
goal. And they can't be happy about that for the city of Cleveland.
If your whole goal is to win a playoff game.
Jeez. It's an emotional game.
You're happy. Then.
It's an emotional game, Mike.
All I'm telling you is this. It is not an emotional game. I think it is the exact opposite, and I think you're full of crap. I believe this. I don't remember seeing the Indiana Hoosiers in 1981 really emotional till y'all won a national championship because you guys expect to win. When you expect to win, there's no reason to be emotional. Emotion will get you beat before it will win you a game. There are times where emotion will help you as a team win a game. There are times when emotion at halftime will be a catapult to win you a game.
They didn't feel emotion until the game was over.
Hey. Okay, they didn't. You're right.
They didn't.
No, they didn't. They weren't.
They got excited if they won the game.
I'll tell you this. You see, you're telling me. All right, Sam McGinnis.
Why are you turning on Cleveland all of a sudden?
I'm not turning on Cleveland. I'm just saying that I believe that, yes, they are happy. And I think this. I think if they come out and get behind quickly, it will end ugly next week. I think if they come out and jump up, that emotion can help them. But overall, I mean, Sam McGinnis, if you're playing football, does emotion hurt you or harm you or hurt you or help you? In most cases, it harms Sam, right, Sam?
Somebody that's ever played the game.
Sam McGinnis has played the game. He's not a little sweet quarterback who's 6'8". Nobody ever touched him because he went to some big school. And, you know, he even admits he never got dirty. You know, if I had to be in a foxhole, I'd be in with Sam McGinnis before I would Steve Risley because Risley's so damn old he'd break his hip when he jumped in. Go ahead, McGinnis.
My mom washed my uniform twice a season.
But, I mean, really, McGinnis, don't you think emotion only goes so far?
I think it can help, but it depends on the emotion. For instance, this is going to sound odd because I'm not normally a frustrated or angry person, but this season some frustration and anger actually helped me play better in several cases.
That's only when I made you angry, though. It wasn't when you did it yourself.
Still, though, it counts. Certain emotion can be helpful, but I do think – there's a problem with being that happy because at that point you're focused on just the fact that you won and you're not really thinking about how it's not over yet.
Hey, yeah. McGinnis, did you play for Good Pastor or something?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that explains everything. Jesus, I just thought you were naturally deranged. I feel for you now, buddy. You're just a byproduct of that idiot sitting next to you.
Oh, you going to let him talk to me like that, McGinnis?
Yeah.
You are? Why? Oh, just because he graduated.
I think, Mike, I think Cleveland.
Your brother plays, right, McGinnis?
You don't know what Cleveland's going to do right now. You don't know if they're going to fold and be happy that they got a playoff win or if they're going to come out.
So wait a second. After you ripping me for saying that, now you're going to say you're going to basically agree with me and say you don't know how they're going to come out.
No. I'm just saying, as an opponent, that makes me very unsettled.
I hate to tell
Pittsburgh
you
that. Had no idea that Cleveland was going to come out and do what they did.
I hate to tell
they
you
never this. Expected to be down 35-0.
I hate to tell you this, but in the playoffs, everybody you play makes you unsettled. It doesn't matter who it is.
You can be
undefeated, the number one seed, playing a 4 seed that you should beat to death all the time, but all you need is one or two bad things to go wrong. And the next thing you know, it doesn't matter that you were the 1 seed because it's all over.
Like I'm sure Sean McVay and Drew Brees don't want to go up against Brady right now.
You know what? I can tell you this. I think that with those guys, yeah, they want to play each other. I want to play the best team. Why do I want to not play the best team? I mean, seriously, that's like, you know, if I'm going to play the Colts, I'm hoping Phillip Rivers is hurt. No, I'm not. I want to beat him with Phillip Rivers. I don't want to beat him with Jacoby Brissett and give him an excuse, even though I still think to this day Jacoby Brissett gave them the
best quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, not
at this point in his career. At this point on the time, but anyway. So, yeah. Sam, what happens to your Steelers? Do they just pick it apart now and blow it up?
I don't, it's very hard because, like, they have defensively. Obviously, didn't play well last night. I'm not going to deny that. But you have a lot of guys under contract who are good players. You have Mickey Fitzpatrick, T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, and you got younger players like Devin Bush who are still in the rookie deal. So you have enough defensively. And we saw this last year. Even if you play with Mason Rudolph, you'll win somewhere between probably 7 to 9 games in a season. Or maybe just 6, but whatever. You'll win enough games to not have a top 3 or 4 draft pick. You're never going to draft a quarterback based on what you have on your roster right now. So I have no idea what they're going to do. I think the best shot, honestly, is try to get Ben to retire, if not cut him, and sign Winston or Dalton to a maybe 1 or 2 year deal.
And your issue there is Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's
– I mean,
you guys are headed for another decade like you had in the
80s. Even look at the quarterbacks left in the AFC side of the playoffs. It's Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Baker Mayfield. There's so much youth on the AFC side of things right now that Pittsburgh's on the wrong at the wrong time to not have a quarterback.
Not really. I think it works out perfect for everybody involved. All right, we're going to go ahead. What are we going to talk about tomorrow there, TC?
I have no idea. I could give you power rankings for quarterbacks.
I don't want power rankings. We need a subject. Is there anything
I've even got him realizing how stupid power rankings
are. I already realize it. So does he, but people read them.
Okay. Yeah, people listen. So,
yeah. Anybody got an idea for a topic?
Well, let's talk about the Tiger Woods documentary. It was on HBO last night.
Nobody cares about Tiger Woods. He's not even an athlete. He's a golfer.
Plus, that's not football anyway.
Do you want a mock draft?
It's golf. We could do a mock draft. Mike? You want to do a mock draft?
Yeah, I'll do a mock draft. It's fine.
All right. Teach, do you want to do a mock draft? Or McGinnis, whatever your name is, up there at the top?
No, I'm good. You guys have fun with
you don't want to do a mock draft? I know Risley doesn't, because Risley doesn't really watch football. It's one of the days of our lives. Is it Days of Our Lives or As the World Turns you watch?
No, it's Let's Make a Deal and Price is Right.
Yeah, don't admit to it. I like Jeopardy.
Hey, you know what? My wife's office or building that she works at is like 2 blocks away from the Let's Make a Deal headquarters. We're trying to get on the show.
So they'll let just anybody on?
No, we need a new washer and dryer.
You could just buy one.
I don't want to win a trip.
Well, I mean, you could sell that Brian Evans jersey behind you on YouTube or eBay and probably get some money and buy a washer and a dryer.
I could, yeah.
That's a joke, guys, because Brian Evans wore number 34 at Indiana like 15 years after Steve. So I don't get it. But have either one of you watched Thelma and Louise yet?
No.
No.
Jeez. How about Hoosiers? McGinnis, you've seen Hoosiers, right?
No.
Same.
Hey, I was watching something last night. Here's a good trivia question. Two younger guys. And you know, Mike, you might be able to answer this too. Anyway, you guys know who Bob Keesham is?
Bob what?
Bob Keesham.
Nope.
Bob Keesham. I've heard that name before.
Mm-hmm. Heard Lee Marvin tell a story about him. He was talking about Lee Marvin was telling a story about making war movies because Lee Marvin served in the military. He was on the beach at Iwo Jima. And then he went on to make The Dirty Dozen, one of the greatest war movies ever made.
That was a good movie.
It was
Have you guys seen Dirty Dozen?
Thank you, Greg. Greg got it right. Very good, Greg. I like that. But anyway, like he talked about the real heroes in the war were a guy like Bob Keesham, who was a flag director landing the amphibious assault victims on the beaches of Iwo Jima. And he stood out there under fire, constant from the Japanese, taking bullets left and right all around him, trying to get these amphibious landing machines on the shore to get the troops on to take Iwo Jima. Turns out Bob Keesham later went on to become Captain Kangaroo.
Have you guys ever seen Captain Kangaroo?
Have you guys seen it? With Mr. Green Jeans? Mr. Moose? No. Mr. Grandfather Clock?
You've never seen Captain Kangaroo?
Oh, my God. These youth, no wonder they're troubled.
Huh. No, never?
Never.
How could you have never seen Captain
Kangaroo? I grew up Saturday morning with Captain Kangaroo.
You've never seen Captain Kangaroo, Sammy?
Sam?
I mean, believe it or not, you guys are about three times older than we are, so.
Ooh. Man, that was mean.
I knew about old stuff when I was young, though.
Man.
Oh, we're going to have to. That's where I'd heard the name. All right. Bob Keeshan was Captain Kangaroo. I forgot about that. Hold on. I got a special just for the Sammies. All right.
But this time next year, wait, Greg.
Won't know the answer.
Sam. I agree. Justin Hebert is going to turn into a very good quarterback, and the Chargers are going to be a good football team making the playoffs next year. Watch out for the Chargers.
No, he's not. Here you go. This is Captain Kangaroo. This is what Risley likes. I would like to say I didn't. But
yep.
Are you ready, Risley?
Yeah.
Do you like Captain Kangaroo a lot?
I like the Captain Kangaroo show.
Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear anything.
You can't hear it, Sammy?
Nope.
Oh, hell.
Oh, I hear it basically, yeah. Yeah. With Mr. Green Jeans, Mr. Moose, the Grandfather Clock, yeah, Captain.
See, they're in a red balloon.
And this is a bona fide World War II hero, Bob Keeshan. How about that?
This is our World War II hero.
There's Mr. Moose. This guy is directing amphibious assault vehicles on the beaches.
And you'll notice our numbers are skyrocketing as we started watching Captain Kangaroo.
All right, let's move on.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm getting this.
Yeah, it's Mr. Bear. You guys don't know what you missed. One,
listen to the song, Risley.
Mike, if you want a mock draft, you have to give me time to write it.
Pete's why.
Oh, that's good stuff.
All right. Captain Kangaroo was riding.
Then from there, we went on to WWE, whatever it was, Championship Wrestling with Dick the Bruiser and Wilbur Snyder and Pretty Boy Bobby Heenan and Blackjack's Lanza and Mulligan. Sky King on Saturday mornings.
We'll show him some tomorrow.
These guys don't know how to watch cartoons. They go watch NFL on Nickelodeon. Yeah, let's get
Bobby started. Sheridan is just tuning in and wants to know what happened to the show. But we were just showing the youngins what Captain Kangaroo was because they'd never heard of Bob Keeshan.
Yeah, we need some Mr. Rogers.
See, I know what that is.
Hey, there you go. Mad Chad. He loves green jeans. See? Y'all thought we were nuts.
We struck a chord.
Hold on, we got a request. How about some Mr. Rogers, Land of Make-Believe, and Speedy Delivery? Maybe we'll do that tomorrow, Mad Chad.
You want to be my friend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Greg Garecki. See, we got all kind of people listening now and watching. In Canada, we had Mr. Dress-Up and the Friendly Giant. Mr. Dress-Up? They have Mr. Dress-Up because they have hockey, McGinnis.
All right, get us out of here. We've lost touch of reality.
We will be back at one tomorrow. We're not going to do a mock draft. We're going to come up with something else. How about the top 10 divisional playoff games in NFL history?
None of those involved the Bengals.
Teats got smacked.
Teats, you want to do that, Teats? Let's do some history. I like old football.
I know you do.
All right, Mad Chad, tomorrow we'll play some Mr. Rogers Land of Make-Believe if you come back and bring it up again because I'll forget about it if you don't. Follow Steve Risley at SRisley34. Follow Sam Teets at SamTeets33. Right, Sam?
Yep, that's right.
And you can follow Sam McGinnis at Samuel McG. Is that it?
22.
Oh, I get it. That was your football number. All right, guys.
Number.
It was. It was a great number too, Sammy. All right, we're going to go ahead. We're going to wrap the show up. Make sure you check us out on Rockfin. Sign up for free. It helps out our network. But until tomorrow, 1 o'clock, for Steve Risley, Sam McGinnis, Sam Teets, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.